Today I want to share a message from God's Word about the man we call Jesus. I want to show you this morning that He was more than a mere man. He was the God-man, the Savior of the world. And I want you to know this morning that this same Jesus that we've learned how to lisp His name as a child is one day soon going to come again. And when He comes, beloved, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can hardly wait. How about you? Before we begin our study this morning about Jesus, would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank You for sending Jesus. May He be present with us through His Spirit this morning. And may we understand truly that He is God. In Jesus' name, amen. There are times when we study God's Word that our minds have a tendency to wander. And this is especially true when we take a lot of time to look up a lot of texts along the way. Now, last Sabbath, we spent quite a bit of time looking up texts and reading them. But I've discovered that sometimes by the time we've reached the fourth text, some of us have forgotten why we're there, where we've been, and where we're going. And because it's so important this morning that we see the larger picture of Jesus, I'm going to just mention some key texts along the way, and I'm going to encourage you to take your pen or pencil and just jot down some of the texts that we're going to refer to. But we're not going to take time this morning to stop and read them, because I want you to catch the flow today of the overall story that we want to share about the person we call Jesus. Not long ago, a Christian businessman was having lunch with a non-Christian friend. A friend that he knew very, very well and had spent a lot of time with. This non-Christian was trying to convince the Christian man this particular day that he too loved the Christian's Jesus. And as they sat together eating, this non-Christian said, "Oh, I wish you could look inside my flesh. I wish I could just open up my flesh this morning and you could see my heart. You would know how much I love Jesus." The Christian responded, knowing this man very, very well, and ran a risk by asking this question. "You know Jesus who? Jesus who?" Now, this Christian knew his friend very well and knew that he was not speaking about the same Jesus that this Christian was depending on for his salvation and as his personal friend. And so he continued to ask some more questions of his friend whose attention was total right now. And the Christian asked this question. He said, "Tell me, do you love the Jesus who left His godly throne in heaven and became man in order to save you and me from sin? Do you love my Jesus, the Jesus who laid down His life on Calvary's cross and died in your place and mine? Do you love the Jesus, my Jesus, who was buried and rose again on the third day and ascended back to the very heavens from which He came and was born to a virgin? Do you love the Jesus, my Jesus, who's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The Jesus who's going to set up His kingdom as supreme on this earth and rule over all the world forever and forever and forever?" His friend was silent, deeply perplexed. He even showed signs of extreme frustration and then slowly began to shake his head and said, "But I've always loved Jesus, the great teacher, the one Buddha took to heaven. For you see, it was Judas, wasn't it, that died on Calvary's cross?" You see, beloved, today there are many false prophets in the land. There are many false Christs and many false Jesus. And there are many who know not the Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the Savior of God's Word, because they seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, because He dwelleth in you. John 14:17. According to the gospel story this morning, let's go back and take a look at this person we call Jesus. According to the gospel, we find a story beginning with a woman by the name of Elizabeth. She was in her 6th month of pregnancy, and the angel Gabriel has now made his way to another woman, this time a virgin, a young girl perhaps in her late teens, by the name of Mary. The same Gabriel that had told Elizabeth 6 months before that she would conceive in her old age and have a son, and was to call his name John, that same Gabriel was now standing by the Virgin Mary, telling her that she was to conceive and to have a son, and they were to call his name Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. And thus it was in the story of the Gospels that John the Baptist was born on schedule, on time, but 6 months older than his cousin Jesus. Now, being the son of a priest, John naturally began his work at 30 years of age. This meant that John entered his work a short time before, or roughly 6 months before, Jesus began his messianic ministry. John, being the older and the forerunner of Jesus, makes this profound declaration as recorded in John chapter 1, verse 15. Listen carefully. He who comes after me, John the Baptist says, has a rank higher than I, for he existed before me. Are you thinking this morning? Now, John was 6 months older than Jesus. John was born before Jesus. And he says, the one who comes after me, with reference to his cousin Jesus, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Beloved, if John was 6 months older than Jesus, then how could Jesus have existed before John unless Jesus was the eternal God without beginning and without end? Now listen to me, beloved. Jesus was the same God that Moses, way back there in the Old Testament, prayed to, as recorded in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou, Creator, Jesus, before Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. That's without beginning and without end. No wonder John could say of Jesus, He who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals, for I baptize you with water for repentance. But Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. Not only did John the Baptist recognize Jesus as more than man, but the Gospels clearly identify this person we call Jesus as the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I'd like to share with you a few reasons why I say that this morning, that Jesus was more than man. I'd like for you to listen in the next few moments for the different people involved in the story as it unfolds, and also the events of the time just centered around the birth of Jesus, around those first few moments and months and years of Jesus' early life. Listen for the different persons that were involved. As to the mother of Jesus, Matthew reminded the people of the words of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being translated is God with us. Now, when the wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star and have followed it and have come to worship him." Now, when Herod the king heard that, he was troubled and gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, asking of them where the Christ, your Christ, is to be born. And now the leaders of the people quote the prophet Micah, saying, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Micah 5, verse 2. Now after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt." From Bethlehem to Egypt. "For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Until what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Hosea might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son." Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem and throughout all the region, Herod slew all the male children from 2 years old and under. And in so doing, he fulfilled that which was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." After Herod's death, an angel again appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel." But when Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go. And so the angel appeared unto him again in a dream and said that he was now to go into Galilee and warned him not to go where he had planned. And thus he came and resided in a city which he himself had spent time before, a small city called Nazareth, and thus fulfilled what the prophets had written, "He, Jesus, shall be called a Nazarene," meaning branch or separated one. Isn't that precious? Let me review what we've just said. Matthew quotes Isaiah, the prophet, concerning the virgin birth. The wise men from the east follow a star to Jerusalem where they ask about the birth of the Jewish king. Their questions cause a great disturbance and force the religious leaders to quote Micah, the prophet, who predicted Bethlehem as the birthplace of Messiah. After Jesus' birth, an angel sends Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child into Egypt to escape the death decree which King Herod imposes upon the babies as prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet. And later, when an angel comes and calls the child out of Egypt, they then fulfill the prophecy of Hosea. And as they settle in Nazareth, they again fulfill what the prophets had written concerning Jesus being a Nazarene. Beloved, that just couldn't have happened. Amen? That was all God's plan, written hundreds of years in advance, and it happened exactly like God had said it would. Thus, Jesus Christ was more than man. He was the God-man, the one from everlasting to everlasting. Now, when we review the history surrounding Jesus' birth, we find all kinds of people who believed, who encountered the man, the child, Jesus. They also gave evidence to the prophetic event as it unfolded. There was Joseph and Mary. There was Zacharias and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna. There were common shepherds, Gentile astrologers, and a heathen king. There were the chief priests and scribes, and of course the prophets who had long before predicted these events, not to mention the heavenly host, the angelic choir, Gabriel, shepherds, and scores of common people who heard and rejoiced at the good news that Messiah had been born. In other words, beloved, it wasn't an isolated event. It wasn't a secret anymore. No wonder Peter could boldly declare, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." John, in writing his first epistle, says, What we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, and what our hands have touched concerning the word of life, we proclaim unto you. This same writer says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, the word of God. But these are written, he said, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name, Jesus. No wonder John closed his gospel with these words. Listen carefully to his little P.S., his postscript at the end. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. As the disciples proclaimed what they had seen and heard, they spoke and wrote with conviction, for they knew the one in whom they believed. Jesus was not only their friend, he was their Savior. He was the divine Son of God. He was their assurance of a coming King. Beloved, today, may I suggest that God's Word, the Bible, still speaks to men and women and to boys and girls. It invites us to believe. It challenges us to accept the evidence that has been given. For it identifies Jesus the Christ as being more than man. For since his birth on this earth to the Virgin, he has been and is and always will be God in human form. In other words, God confined by identity, but unlimited in infinity. Words do not permit us, as human beings, to exalt the name of Jesus to its rightful place. For his name is above every name. It is a name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Yet it is a name which reminds us that he is with us, that he is our friend, our Savior, and our King. Today there are millions of men and women who say they love Jesus, but I wonder if it's fair for us to ask them the question, Jesus, who? Who is the Jesus that men worship today? Is it the Jesus of God's Word or another Jesus that has taken his place? How is it, beloved, with you? May I suggest this morning that we get to know the true Jesus? John 17, verse 3 says that we need to know him, for our life is dependent upon knowing the true Jesus. Let me share with you this morning some identifying marks about this true Jesus that Pastor S.M. Lockridge has given us to consider. He says that Jesus is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Can you say amen to that? Is that your king, King Jesus? King David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No method of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from throwing out his blessings to all his children. He is enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Have you met him? The man Jesus. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's noble and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of all true theology. He is the core and the necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the ages. He's the superlative of everything good that you could choose to call Him. He's the only one qualified to be our all-sufficient Savior. Do you know Him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses from the leprosy of sin. He mends shattered hearts. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged and He rewards the diligent and He purifies the meek. Have you accepted Him? His name is Jesus. He's the key to all knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness, and He's the gateway to glory, and He's the only way. Do you know Him? His name's Jesus. His office is diverse. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness, and His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. But you see, beloved, He's indescribable. He's God. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your heart. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't fault Him. False witnesses couldn't condemn Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. That's my King. Is He yours? And His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? It's forever and ever and ever. And when we get done saying forever, then, beloved, we can say amen, amen, and amen. Beloved, this is our Jesus, our Savior, and our King. Let us pray. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. So complete, so adequate. Father, today I pray that He might cleanse us from all sin, that He might bind up the brokenhearted, that He might set the captives free, that He might be what we came here to find this day. Father, may He become our all in all. And may He always be more than just our friend. May He always be our King, the Lord, our righteousness. In His name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Willard Santee, American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. If you have been blessed by this message and other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please take a moment just now and write to us. We'd love to hear how this ministry has helped you in your spiritual journey. International Copyright 1995, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional cassettes by Pastor Santee or other American Cassette Ministry speakers, or for a free catalog of the finest sermons, music cassettes, CDs, and videos, please place your order as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. For email orders via CompuServe, our address is 74532-122. Or you may write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Celebrating 20 years of service to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support, and we strive to provide you with balanced, powerful messages that will help you in your preparation to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.